We learned the Tosfos on Hey Amid Beis, Dibur Maschal Kehecha Delo Letardon. We spoke about two important lines there in Tosfos. Tosfos has one line where they write, they're quoting a Gemara, that if I rent a house from someone else and the landlord's house collapses, then the landlord can evict the tenant from the apartment, even though the tenant didn't violate any of the conditions of the lease. That's the fourth wide line in Tosfos, where they write, V'chein socher, shem v'yipol, beisov shel hamaskir. If the landlord's house collapses, yitzarech ha-socher lotzeis. The landlord can evict the tenant. Why? D'le'odif minei. How can it be that the tenant has a right to live in the house? The landlord has no house. It's understood that the landlord gets the house. So there's a Tosfos, there's a Rosh in the end of the first Perek on Avodah Zarah, where the Rosh says that Bizman is that we don't follow that din. We live among the Goyim, and in Dina de Malchus, according to the Goyisha law, there is no such law that the landlord can evict the tenant because the landlord's house collapsed. So we follow Dina de Malchus. Whenever one of the parties involved is a Nochri, then we follow Din and Machlusa. Even if all the parties involved are Jewish, if you make a condition, if you make a stipulation in advance that you want to follow Din and Machlusa, that's legitimate. So then the halacha requires that you have to follow Din and Machlusa. That's a machlekes hatanaim in Bob Metzia, machlekes Rameir Abuda, with a masna, mashikos batorah, with dabisha b'mamen, tenoi kayam. And we pass Rameir Abuda, halachik Rabuda. We rarely pass like Reb Meir when he disagrees with Reb Yudin. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Erevin, the Reb Meir gave such sharp shiurim. He explained all the logical possibilities. He gave different explanations. He can say like this, he can say like that, he can say the other way. So at the end of the shiur, the students didn't know what his opinion was. And in the days of the Tanoim, the Talmidim were interested in hearing Aloch HaLamayis, the bottom line, what's the din? In some generations, the Talmidim B'davki don't want to hear what the din is. They want to be opened up to the world of logical possibilities. On the one hand, and on the other hand, and on the other hand. They wore the two hands. There was a famous Rosh Hashiva used to give Shem on the one hand, on the other hand, on the other hand. Yeah. But in the days of the Tanaim, they wanted to know halacha l'maaseh. So the Gemara says the students who went to learn Berat Meir, they all fizzled out, and they went to learn by others. And in the later generations, when they were voting, how to pass halacha, so the majority of the Tanaim didn't agree with Reb Meir, because they didn't learn by him. So we pass like Reb Yudit, Masna Mashikos Batar B'davisha B'mamen, Tanoi Kayam, B'davisha B'yisir. We say Masna Mashikos Batar tonight bottle. The man, the example given in Shulchan Aruch from the Talmud of Yerushalmi is, a man marries a woman, and he says, on the Tanai, that if I die leaving no children, you will not have to have chalitza. So you can't make such a Tanai. So you ought to say the Kedushin is not chal. So the Gemara says, no. Masa mashkasa batorah, Tanai batla maisekayim. The Kedushin is chal, and the Tanai is batla mevutum. Because Tanoi Batl, he had no right to make such a Tanoi, so it's Batl. But in Dabashet Mamet, Tanoi Kayim. So even if the landlord and the tenant are both Jewish, but the Minig Olam is that everybody follows Dina de Malchusa over here as far as this is concerned. If the landlord's house collapsed, he will not be able to evict me if I didn't violate any of the conditions of the lease. So the Rosh, in the end of the first Perek in Avodah Zarah, says that's the reason why we no longer follow the din in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Avodah Zarah quotes a pasuk in Chumash, quotes a din in a Torah. L'savi sayeva el beisecha. You're not permitted to bring a davish al Avodah Zarah into your home. Not only l'savi sayeva, but you are not allowed to bring it in. You're not allowed to mention, the Mishnah adds on. The simple reading on the pasuk, you can say that the Jewish owner is not allowed to bring an avodah zarah into his home. But the Mishnah says, included in the pasuk, kadin derais is, you're not permitted to allow a nochri to come into your apartment with his avodah zarah. If he has a tzelem on his neck, he doesn't worship the tzelem. That's a religious symbol that represents Yashke, who was crucified. Okay, that represents, but he doesn't deify the crucifix. The crucifix reminds him of his Avodah Zarah, and he worships the Avodah Zarah. So that's not Avodah Zarah. But if a Nochri has a little pestle that he deifies, that he worships, I'm not permitted to allow him to enter my house with his Dovish al Avodah Zarah. That's what the Mishnah says is included in the Din and the Chumash. So the Balei HaTosfos raised the question. It's a common practice that the Balei HaTosfos had houses for rent. They would rent it to a Nochri. And it's a Dovya Dua that when a baby would be born or someone would die or it'd be a holiday season, so the Nochrim would bring in the pestle that they actually worshipped, the Dover, the Toeva itself, the Dover HaMetua of the Avodah Zarah, into the house. So we're outright in violation of this Issa Deraisa of Losavi Sayyid al Beisecha. So Tosis has a suggestion. Maybe it's only called Beisecha in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe whoever lives in Chutzal is not called Beisecha. So Tosis is not happy with that. That's what when you come to Eretz Yisrael, so they always tell you, welcome home. Mm-hmm. They're trying to encourage everybody to move back there, to move to Eretz Yisrael. So everybody should come back home. Eretz Yisrael is the home of the Jewish people. They're right. It should, it's supposed to be the home of all the Jewish people. We're all supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. It would have been a nice idea that what Tosfos say about Yisrael only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But then Tosfos says, what about mezuzah? So you're only mechuyev and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael. The din is you're mechuyev and mezuzah in Chutz Lo'aretz. So you say Chutz Lo'aretz is only mid-rabbanon. That wouldn't appear so in the Gemara. That the chuyev mezuzah in Chutz Lo'aretz is only mid-rabbanon because only the home that you live in Eretz Yisrael is called Beisecha. The home of Chutz Lo'aretz is not called Beisecha. Wouldn't appear so. So that's the problem. What happened to Lo'sav Yisrael about Beisecha? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to rent an apartment to a Nochri. Is going to bring in Avodah Zarah, and the landlord will be in violation of the Sisa of Lo Savi Seiv El Bisecha. So the Rosh answers as follows, that the Gemara raises a question there in Avodah Zarah, the first parak, a little earlier, not at this Mishnah is Davchav, the end of the first parak, but a little earlier the Gemara raises a question, why is that a violation if the landlord rents an apartment to the Nochri, and the Nochri brings in the Avodah Zarah? Once he rents the apartment to the Nochri, it's based on Shalom Nochri. So the Nochri is in violation. Nochri doesn't have this din. Nochri has Sheva Mitzvah Din Enoyach. But it's not based on Shalom Landlord, it's based on Shalom Tenant. So the Gemara says, no. You see from the Mishnah, that's Chiris Lokanya. When a landlord rents an apartment to someone else, you don't say that it's based on Shalom Tenant. It's considered based on Shalom Landlord. So the Rosh says, "Bamedvar in the Shach writes in Yerideya, in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, these dinim l'savis al besecha." He said, "We paskan halacha l'maisa like this Rosh." The Rosh answers that was only bisman haGemara that he says chiras lo kanya, because in the days of the Gemara, when a Jew would rent to another Jew, they would follow the din in the Gemara that if nafal beso shal hamaskir, it's tarchasecha latzeis. So therefore, it's still considered beso shal hamaskir. It's not based on Shal HaSeicha, but Bizman HaZed, that we all follow the Machusa. So now you no longer say Schiris Lo Kanya. Today he says Schiris is Kanya, because the landlord cannot evict the tenant unless he violated one of the clauses of the lease. But just because the landlord's home collapsed, he cannot evict the tenant. So Bizman HaZed Adina says Schiris is Kanya, so that if you rent the house to a Nochri, and the Nochri brings in that way the Zohar, it's not based on Shal HaLandlord, it's based on Shal HaTenant. Based on that shach, that the shach says we paskin, the minig is clearly like that. The Balei HaTosfos writes, Shulchan Aruch says that's the minig, and the justification of the minig is this explanation that the Rosh gives at the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah. So based on that, Rav Shach has a very interesting chiddush, and the pashtus is probably right. The question is against the Yerideya. There's a Gemara says that if you rent an apartment from somebody else, are you obligated to put a mezuzah? So Gemara makes a distinction whether you rent in Eretz Yisrael or you rent in Chutz Lo'aretz. If you rent in Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev to put a mezuzah from day number one. If you rent in Chutz Lo'aretz, the obligation to put a mezuzah only begins after 30 days. If you only rent for less than 30 days, you're not obligated to put a mezuzah. More than 30 days, you are obligated to. Where does that sheer 30 days come from? What is that supposed to represent? So Tosfos has two biurim. So one beer in Tosfos is, I think Gemara says, that the obligation to put a mezuzah is only if you have a diras keva in the house. If you only have a diras aroi, you're not mechuyev the mezuzah. So that's why there's a machlokes in the Gemara, where the sukkahs are chag b'chag. You make a sukkah that you're only going to eat and sleep in for the duration of sukkahs, and that's all. Then you're going to take down the whole thing. So that's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. It happens to be on the first daf in sukkah, and then it's repeated later in sukkah a few times. But this Gemara is a menoches. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether the sukkah has to dafke be diras aroi, or the sukkah has to dafke be diras keva. Min akotza la kotza. So that's what the what's the name of the sefer on sukkah? What? The other sefer that he wrote. What?
Happens tomorrow.
No. The Bikur Yaakov wrote is Bikur Yaakov is on Shulchan Aruch. Then he wrote a sefer on Masechah Sukkah. I forgot. Oruch Laner. The Oruch Laner. Yochanan was a rabbi in Germany. He's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch and to others as well, to Rabbi Chief Rabbi Hertz, who was Chief Rabbi of Britain, and other prominent rabbis. So Doruch Laner writes an interesting comment on the first daf in Sukkah. He says, 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are good l'choladeis. According to the way we pass them like the Chachamim, they're good because we declare them as diras aroi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're good because he declares them as diras keva. The beautiful holds it has to be diras keva. We paskin has to be diras aroi. So 98% of the sukkahs are good because we hold that the diras aroi, and the beautiful holds that diras keva. 1% of the sukkahs are absolutely diras keva. If you build a sukkah the ma'ala mesa mama, then it's absolutely diras keva. So then we would say it's no good. The beautiful says wonderful, marvelous. It's supposed to be diras keva. And then 1% of all the sukkahs in the world are absolutely diras aroi because they're so wobbly. So then Rabbi Yehuda will say that they're puzzled. We'll say, that's wonderful. It's supposed to be there, it's all right. But in principle, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah has to be, every sukkah that you sit in, that you eat in, has to be a diras keva. According to Rabbi Yehuda, sukkahs are chag b'chag, is chayev is ben mezuzah, the Gemara says. But the way we pass the halacha, that sukkah has to dafke be diras aroi. So sukkahs are chag b'chag is not chayev and mezuzah. So that's beferish in the Gemara. That in order to be chayev and mezuzah, you have to have a diras keva. Diras aroi is not chayev and mezuzah, and that's why it's a machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbanan, where the sukkah is a chag b'chag, is chayev is ben mezuzah. So the first opinion in Tosfos says, where do you get these 30 days from? So they say, if you buy a home and you live in the home, day number one, if I buy a home and I don't live in the home, I have a house I never live in. I have, let's say, we have 9 children, but they all got married already. So they live in their own apartment. So we have a lot of rooms in our apartment that we never use. So strictly speaking, those rooms are not chayev and mezuzah. I don't even have an diras aroi there. I have an empty room. Once in a while, a guest comes and he sleeps in a room. So that's diras aroi. He only comes and sleeps once in a while, diras aroi. So strictly speaking, you're not chayev and mezuzah. So the Tosfos says, if you buy a home and you live there day number one, it's already diras keva. You own the home. If you rent a house and you only live there less than 30 days, that's called diras aroi. Once you live there for more than 30 days, then it's called diras keva. Diras keva is chayev mezuzah min haTorah. So why is an Eretz Yisrael? Why is it different? Why are you chayev mezuzah from day number one? So Gemara said that's only midirabbanan. Mishum yishav Eretz. What is it? Mishum yishav Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? Mishum yishav Eretz Yisrael. So one could have interpreted. Rashi doesn't learn like this. One could have interpreted. If you don't look in Rashi, Your inclination would have been to say Pashup Shad Gemara, Mishum Yishav Eretz Yisrael. We call the dearest kever from day number one because we want everybody to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the fellow finally he rented an apartment. He's living there for one day. So since he's mekayim the mitzvah, the Magen Avraham says that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees to that. Just a question: why the Rambam didn't include it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs? But the Rambam also agrees. The Rambam quotes all the dims: a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Magen Avraham raises a question in Hilchas Erev Shabbos. It says in the Gemara, the end of the first parak of Masechah Shabbos, you shouldn't go on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos. Pashut Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Vilna Gaon Paskins, 3 days is Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Now, the Issa doesn't begin for Wednesday. But Shulchan Aruch says the full 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're not allowed to go on a boat trip. Unless you're going with Dvar Mitzvah, then it's permissible. What's the reason why it's also different interpretations? So it's important to know what the reason is, because whatever the reason doesn't apply, the whole din doesn't apply. Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Gemara that to go on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos is only permissible for Makkah Mitzvah. What's an example of a Makkah Mitzvah? The fellow's moving to Eretz Yisrael to live there. What if he's only moving to Eretz Yisrael to visit and then to go back to Chutz Laretz? Is that also a mitzvah? Is that a partial kiyum mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes from the Knesset HaGdolah. If the person is going on a boat trip and he's starting out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in order to visit Eretz Yisrael, intending to return back to Chutz Laretz, is that considered a mitzvah, a partial mitzvah at least, that he should be permitted to go on the boat trip within the 3 days before Shabbos? So many Achrayim say yes. Some say if he's going to walk to Alar Amos in Eretz Yisrael, because the Gemara in the end of Ksuvus has a comment on the pasuk at the end of the Shiras Azinu, the last pasuk, B'chipe ad masai amei. So the Gemara has the Pasha Pshat is one way, Rashi has one Pshat, and the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, B'chipe ad masai amei. When the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, they get a kapar. Kol Adar b'chutzla, kol Adar b'Eretz Yisrael, nimchalam aben oisav. If the person does tshuva, it'll be nimchalam aben oisav. So the Gemara says, kol amhalach dalar amas b'Eretz Yisrael. Even though he doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael kavua, he just walks dalar amas and he goes back to chutzla. Amhalach dalar amas, also nimchalam aben oisav. So some say, there's a partial kiyam mitzvah of Yisha b'Eretz Yisrael, if you walk down on Amos in Eretz Yisrael. Others say, no, it's only a partial Kema Mitzvah if you live there for 30 days. And others say, there's a partial Kema Mitzvah if they live here for more than Yud Beis Chodesh. Because the Gemara here said that sometimes there are Dinim Deraisa that depend on living in the place for Yud Beis Chodesh. You wanted the Bnei Ho'ir, you wanted the Shutfim in the city. We discussed it yesterday. Only if you live there, Yud Beis Chodesh. And sometimes there are Dinim, you're called Yoshvei Ho'ir. When you get to the Din Deraisa of Yoni Dachas, Hakes Sakes Yoshua, or Haley Ficherim, instead of one who worships Abed Azara, is really Chayv Skila, and you don't have to burn down his house, you don't destroy his property. But if he's part of an Yoni Dachas, part of the Yoshua Hilir, so instead of getting the Mochamadika Oinish of Skila, Abed Azara Skila, instead of that, he gets Sayef, Hakes Sakes Yoshua, Haley Ficherim, and Mamayna Mabad, you have to burn down his house and burn all of his property. So that doesn't depend on whether he's one of the citizens in the city. It depends on the Yoshvei Ho'ir. So Yoshvei Ho'ir is 30 days. And Bnei Ho'ir is Yud Beis Chodesh. So there are three different opinions there in the Achrayim. Whether visiting Eretz Yisrael just for a tour and to leave is a partial Kema Mitzvah. So some Achrayim say it's not, only if he lived there. Kavod. Others say no, since Mechalam Aben Oisav. So even if you just go to Eretz Yisrael to walk to Alar Amos, there's a partial Kema Mitzvah. So it's mutter to leave on a boat trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Others say only if you plan, it's only partial Kema Mitzvah, you're going to stay there at least 30 days because you considered me Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. And I'll say, all right, if you're going to stay there, but more than Yid Beis Chodesh. So the Pashup Shatting Mar perhaps would be that if you rent an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, Yechai Ben Mizum Yad, Shem Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the fact that there's such a mitzvah makes it, we consider it already Diras Keva from day number one. When you live in Chutz Laretz, all of our living in Chutz Laretz is Diras Haroi. There's such a famous line in the Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi Yudah Chassid, he writes that you're not allowed to build a brick house in Chutz Laretz. You're allowed to buy, but you shouldn't build a brick house. Why? So he doesn't explain why. So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he explains why. I don't remember whether this is in the Sefer Hasidim or the Tzavoy of Rabbi Yudah Chassid. We don't follow either. We don't follow the Tzavoy, we don't follow Rabbi Yudah Chassid either. But I don't remember whether this is in the Tzavoy or this is in the Sefer Hasidim. I think it's in the Sefer Hasidim proper. That so the Chassam Sofer explains the reason why. If you build a brick house, you're demonstrating you plan to live there kavua. You should never demonstrate that you're going to live kavu on Chutz Laretz. We should always have in mind, Elish Shmaz B'nei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayma. They just arrived. Even if you live there for centuries, you should have the feeling you just came. Haboy Mitzrayma. You shouldn't have the feeling that you're a Toshav in Chutz Laretz. We should all know that we're supposed to, we all belong in Eretz Yisrael. We don't belong in Chutz Laretz. So one could have learned pshat like that. that in Shemisha of Eretz Yisrael, we consider even living in the rented apartment at Diras Keva from day number one, because it's already a partial Kiyama Mitzvah, and that's where we all belong, and that's called Diras Keva. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi has a different pshat. Rashi says, Yimuchuiv and Mezuzah, day number one in Eretz Yisrael, a rented apartment mid the Rabbanon, not in our Torah, not that it's a Diras Keva. Yimuchuiv mid the Rabbanon, it's going to cost you a lot of money. The kosher mezuzah costs, a real kosher mezuzah costs maybe $75 these days. So if a person is renting in Eretz Yisrael and he's toying with the idea of remaining in Eretz Yisrael permanently, moving back to Chutz Lord, so the investment that he'll put in to spend another $75 on the mezuzah may tip the scale, and that may cause the person to decide in favor of remaining Eretz Yisrael. Because if he leaves, he has to leave the mezuzah there. So he put another $75 investment in the home in Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi says. That Yechayv and Mezuzah, day number one, when you rent in Eretz Yisrael, Shemish of Eretz Yisrael, that's to encourage the person to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So we say, you got to put a mezuzah from day number one. And if you wouldn't have seen the Rashi HaMenachas, you just look at the Gemara, many people would have thought that it doesn't mean that. I mean, Shemish of Eretz Yisrael, we consider the Diras Keva right away. But I call upon him chutz lord. So the din is, when you rent an apartment, so the first 30 days you're not chayv and mezuzah, after 30 days you are chayv. So the first patent thesis is that within 30 days it's only diras aroi. After 30 days, even though it's only rented, after 30 days then it's called diras keva. That's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is the second opinion of Tosfos, that a rented apartment is never chayv and mezuzah in HaTorah. But after, so within 30 days, you're not chayv. After 30 days, you're chayv mid the rabbanim mishum marisayim. But the people will see that the fellow's living in an apartment is not bothering to put a mezuzah. So if he only stays there for less than 30 days, there'll be toilah. Maybe he didn't buy it. Maybe he's only renting. They don't know who the landlord is. I live in an apartment building. So for many years, a lot of people thought that was one of the tenants was a prominent member of Broya's Kehillah. So they all thought that he was the owner of the building. It turned out he was not the owner. They all called it his building. His building. Turned out not only was he not the owner, he didn't get along with the owner. He was always fighting with the owner of the building. The landlord was a nice, modern, Jewish religious man. Not from Broye, not from the community. But the people thought that he owned it. No one knows who owned it. Could be, I own the building. Then later on, someone else bought the building from him. He dresses just like me. He has a nice beard, and he supports Aguda. Doesn't support Wayo, he supports Aguda. A nice religious man. So you never know who the owner of the building is. So that's what we paskan like that in Shulchan Aruch, that a rented apartment is not chayv min haTorah. After 30 days, only chayv min haRabbanim, mishum arisayin. People may think that it belongs to you. That's what Davne Neza has a tshuva, since the whole chiyuv after 30 days only mishum arisayin. So he says, what if you rent in a yeshiva dormitory? Even if it has your father's name on the building, it means your father paid for the building. But it does mean that he owns the building. He paid the money to the yeshiva to get a tax deduction, made a donation to the yeshiva. Not that he owns the building. So everybody knows the dormitory belongs to the yeshiva. So the whole, who's mukhiv to pay for the mezuzahs in the dormitory? So the Avnei Nezer says the yeshiva is mukhiv, not the students. There's no marisayin, even after 30 days. Everybody knows the building is not his. The building belongs to the yeshiva. So Rav Shach writes in his Sefer on the Rambam, he quotes Tshuvas Rebbe Kivego. We accept the second opinion in Tosfos, that the rented apartment is not chayv min haTorah at all, and after 30 days only chayv min haRabbanim, mishum marisayin. And then there's a question, why do you say a bracha? Why do you say a bracha? There's a Ramah in Hilchos Chanukah, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes a din from the Gemara. If you have a house that has windows, a big house, and has windows that face one street, and the other end of the house has windows that face the other street. So you have to put a menorah in each of the windows, because the people going, if you only put a menorah on one side, the people walking on the other street will think the guy's not the Yotzei the Mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah. So Mishum Arisayin, he has to light two menorahs. So the question is, do you recite a bracha when you do something Mishum Arisayin? When he lights the first menorah, he's Yotzei, he said a bracha already. When he lights the second one, it's to avoid marisayin. That's like there's an isa loshen hara. You're not allowed to say loshen hara against anybody else. You're not allowed to ruin your own reputation. You're not allowed to talk loshen hara against yourself. So you're not allowed to do something that'll mislead people into thinking that you're not so observant, that you're not bedaktik. So you have to light a menorah in the other window, not because of the chiyuv menorah, because of the din of marasai, the yisim nikiyim ha'ashem me Yisrael. So you never recite the bracha when you do something to avoid violation of an avera. I'm avoiding violation of an avera. I'm not the balabasa on my own reputation. I'm not allowed to ruin my reputation. And if I do, I did an avera, like telling Lashnar against someone else. Telling Lashnar against myself is also awesome. So that's why you have to light the menorah. So the Ramah says over there that you don't say a bracha. He quotes the Ran on Shabbos, that you don't say a bracha when you light the second menorah because you're only doing Mishum Marasai. But over here, when you put the mezuzah after 30 days, Mishum Marasai, you do say a bracha. Or let's say when you shech the ben pekua. Everybody knows what a ben pekua is. You shech the cow that's highly pregnant. And then after you shech the cow, then the uber comes out. Then the uber is born. So in the Torah, the vlad is nita b'shchita simo. So the vlad does need shchita. But with the rabbanim, Mishum Marasayan, people later on, they're going to be wondering, the guy takes the cow and he shoots it, the vlad, he shoots it and he eats it. He's eating an avela. What's going on over here? So the people may not remember that this was the ben pekua. So Mishum Marasayan, you have to shecht it. So there it's a discussion. Do you say a bracha when you shecht? The ben pekua, it's only Mishum Marasayan. So sometimes yes and sometimes no. Ben Pekua, you do say a bracha. And putting the mezuzah after 30 days, you do say a bracha. And over here by the menorah on the second window, you don't say a bracha. So that's what the Pichadosh is Me'orah, the Reise Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch discussed this question. When do you say Mishum Arisayin? You're just doing it to avoid violation of an Iser. That's a person shaves with an electric shaver because he doesn't want to shave with a razor. So he's going to say a bracha. You don't say a bracha. When you eat kosher food, you say a bracha, shekereshana, b'mitzosu, tzivanu, sholol lechem, macholos, asur. You don't say a bracha when you're avoiding violation of an avera. You only recite the bracha when you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah, either a mitzvah min ha-Torah or a mitzvah min ha-Rabbanan, but not if you're avoiding violation of an isa. So that's a discussion. When do you say marisayin? Because of marisayin, because of that consideration, the chacham made a takana to do a mitzvah. When you say, no, marisayin is marisayin. Don't cause hashad on yourself. So that's a discussion in the post. So Rav Shach comments and he says like this, Rabbi Kivega writes in the Tshuva, why do we accept that opinion that a rented apartment is only chayim mid rabbanon even after 30 days? Why don't we say you're mechuyev right away? So Rabbi Kivega writes in the Tshuva because chiras lo kanya, because the pasuk says chsaf the mamzus is beisecha uvisharecha, and it's called beisel shel ha-landlord. It's not called Beisel Shel HaTenant. The landlord is not mechuyev to put in mezuzah, because mezuzah chavis hador. He's not living there. The tenant is not mechuyev because it's not Beisecha. It's the landlord's apartment. So Rav Shach says that was only Bizman HaGemara, when they followed the din in the Gemara, that if the house of the landlord collapses, then he can evict the tenant, even though the tenant didn't violate any of the clauses of the lease. But Bizman HaZeh, the Rosh says, and the Shach says, be paschal halacha like that. We'll make on an Isa deraisa of the Sabi Sebal Besach. We rent apartments to non-Jews, even though we know in advance that the Ovdi Avodah Zorah. We know they're going to be machnas at Teich Avodah Zorah. We say it's muta because Bizmana says Chiris Kanya. Because we follow Dina Machusa that when the landlord's house collapses, he cannot evict the tenant. The Avshach asked if so. So then the whole reason why a rented apartment is not Chai Ben HaTorah falls off Bizmana Zeh. Because today's Chiris is Kanya. So the tenant should not have 30 days grace period. The tenant moves in should be mechuyev and mezuzah from day number one. The other opinion, that the first opinion that Tosfos was because the first 30 days is diras haroi, but we don't. And after 30 days, then it's diras keva. So we don't accept that. We assume even after 30 days, it's a diras keva. It's still only midrabbani, not chayv min haTorah. Why? Because min haTorah, it's not called beso. Because chivas lo kanya, that's what Rabbi Kivega writes. So Rav Shach Tainis, but b'zman hazeh we follow din machusa. So chivas is kanya. So then it should be basic. It should be chay from day number one. So shtarka taina. But in Shulchan Aruch it says Shulchan Aruch doesn't say like that. It says you're not chayv till after 30 days, and nobody says. Nobody on the page says that the din changed b'zman hazeh. If we change the din lahakel on the yisur b'savisel b'secha, we should certainly change the din laachmer. To be mechuyev to put a mezuzah from day number one. Today, most of the time, people do put a mezuzah from day number one because the Beis HaLevi has her Oris and the Sefer HaChumash. He only has Ambrachus and Shmos. So he has, at the end of the Sefer, he has her Oris and Hilchas Mezuzah. So one of the horrors he has is that some of the Rishonim say that if you rented an apartment for, you signed the lease for a whole year, a two-year lease, then you're mechuyev in mezuzah right away from day number one. When do you say you're not mechuyev in mezuzah till after Lamed Yom? That's if you're renting day by day or week by week. So then when it adds up and it comes out that it's Yom Lamed Aleph, then you have to put in mezuzah. But if from the very outset, you signed the lease, you rented the apartment for more than 30 days, so even for day number one when you move in, you're mechuyev in mezuzah. So that's why, so the Beis HaLevi recommends you should be choshish for that opinion. So that's why most people will put up, Taka should put up in mezuzah right away. But they shouldn't say a bracha, because other Rishonim say explicitly, not so. Other Rishonim say, even if you signed the lease for more than 30 days, you should not put in mezuzah until after 30 days. We mentioned the Menchas Chinuch raises a possibility that it could be that if you put the mezuzah within 30 days, it'll be possible, because it's Tasav Lamin Asui. The Gemara has that, the din of Tasav Lamin Asui. Tasav Lamin Asui, we know, is a din by Sukkot. And then the Gemara has a Shaila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Lulav Tzarech Eged, maybe Tasav Lamin Asui applies to making the Eged. I make the knot, and then I put the Lulav in the Hadassim in. That's what we do all the time. We have this woven container, the keshiko, so that it's full of knots already. It's all full of knots because it's woven in such a way that the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Sefer Avgura Ba'alecha. So he quotes that the keshiko is already a kesha al-gabi kesha. And then we put in the lulav, the hadassim, and our rubs after the knot is already there. So we always have, it's always by us, tasav laman asim. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. If the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav tzarech eged, then the Gemara has a discussion, a shaila within Rabbi Yehuda, is there a din of tasav laman asim making there? But we pass lulav and tzarech eged. So that's why we assume there's no issue of tasav laman asim. It's only alibi the Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara said the favorites, there is a din of tasav laman asim by mezuzah. Let's say they're in the process of building a house. So they made the doorway, and the fellow, the eager beaver, he puts up the mezuzah. But they didn't put up all the walls yet. They didn't put up the roof yet. Abai Shein Mekura is not chayv in mezuzah. They didn't put up the roof yet, not chayv. So he put the mezuzah up before the makom was mechuyev in mezuzah. So the din is he has to take it down and put it up again, because tasav lamin asui. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch raises a possibility, that maybe if he rented an apartment, and many Rishonim say even if he rented for more than 30 days, you have mechuyev in mezuzah to actually live there 30 days. So if you put the mezuzah within the 30 days, it could be that since you're not mechuyev, and then it comes the 31st day, it's standing already on its own. So that could be possible because of tasav laman asim. So when they first mentioned it to Rav Soloveitchik, he thought it was a big joke. And then after thinking for a while, he thought maybe it is correct. Maybe like the Tosfos says, that within 30 days is diras haroi, only after 30 days is diras keva. Maybe it is tasav laman asim. So that's the common practice. A lot of people who are knowledgeable, so that when they rent an apartment, they put the mezuzah from day number one. Then on Yom Lamed Aleph, they'll take down all the mezuzahs. They put the mezuzah from day number one without a bracha. And then they take down the mezuzah after 30 days, and they put it back up, and they say the bracha. So if you just want to put it back to say the bracha, only take down one mezuzah. Take down one mezuzah on a door, that's Varei Chayva mezuzah. And before you're about to put it back up, you say the bracha. But according to the Menchas Chinuch, it could be that they're all possible because of Tasav Laman Asim. So you should take down all the mezuzahs, and then when you're about to put back the first one, say the bracha, and then put back all the mezuzahs, relying on the one bracha that you say in the beginning. So that's has baggage to it. This halacha in the Gemara. Shema yipol beisu shalom asim, it starts al chalotzi de lo adif menei. That's a Gemara. Where's the Gemara? They tell you where it is. Bob Metzia, Kuf Aleph, on the side, Masoras Hashach, that's in Bob Metzia, Kuf Aleph. So the Shach writes that we paskan like that Rosh at the end of the first Perek in Avodah Zarah, that we don't observe that din anymore. We follow din in the Machus, and not only if you rent to a Goy, probably if you rent to a Jew also. The Minig Amdina is that it's Kilu Hisnum. Whatever is a Minig is considered Kilu Hisnum. So if we made it tonight in advance, are we going to follow din in the Machus? Then we found there was another important line, this detailed Tosfos. There was another important line in the Tosfos. Tosfos talks about the second wide line in Tosfos. They talk about doing Pidyon HaBen as soon as possible. Mitzvah We say Zviz Magdimin the Mitzvah with respect to Pidyon Aben. They don't say Zviz Magdimin to do Pidyon Aben within 30 days. That they don't say. If you do Pidyon Aben within 30 days, you don't say a bracha. That's a big discussion in the Achrayim. If Yom Lamed Aleph, you do Pidyon Aben on Yom Lamed Aleph. Whatever day of the week the baby is born, so the Pidyon Aben is done 2 days later. Let's say the baby is born on Sunday. So 4 weeks later, 4 weeks later, the 4 weeks will be over on Shabbos. The baby is born on Sunday. Sunday through Shabbos, Sunday through Shabbos, Sunday through Shabbos, 4 weeks. So the 28 days are over on Shabbos. Then 4 weeks later, Sunday, on the beginning of the fifth week, will be day number 29. And then Monday, Tuesday will be 30, 31. So the Pidyon Aben is always done 2 days, 4 weeks later, 2 days later, and the week. If the baby was born on Sunday, the Pidyon Aben is going to be on Tuesday. The baby was born on Shabbos, Pidyon Aben will be 4 weeks later, Monday, 2 days later in the week. That's day 31. So the Achrayim discuss, what if the Yom Lamed Aleph falls out on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do Pidyon Aben? See, you don't do Pidyon Aben with money. Money is the chmuktzeh. So you can do. You don't have to do Pidyon Aben with cash. There's no mitzvah lechatchila to do with cash. The Gemara in the first parak in Kiddushin talks about a person giving talas at the pidyon b'nei, eagles at the pidyon b'nei. He's giving shavik kesef. So the Gemara says it's perfectly okay. I remember I went to a pidyon aben, and the kohen insisted he wants a becher. He meant that he does want to give the money back. Usually if you give money, so it's a lot of times understood that the coin is supposed to give the money back. And that's not right. So this coin never wanted to give back. So he always said he wants a becher. He wants something else. He wants something else. Meaning that he's not going to give it back. So he had a house full of bechers, all kinds of things that he got from Pidyon Aben. So why can't you do Pidyon Aben with a set of svarim that's worth 5 shkolim? Why can't you do that on Shabbos? So the Achrayim came up with this, I think the Trumas Adeshin. And the Rishayim never says a word about this. So one of the great Gedolim in Europe has a tshuva where he writes, he thinks that Medina de Gemara, it's perfectly okay to make Pidyon Aben on Shabbos. The whole thing is a chumra from the Trumas Adeshin. Trumas Adeshin was the first one to come up with it. So he comes up with a chiddush that to do Pidyon Aben on Shabbos is an issa because the Mishnah says in Masech Shabbos, let's say I owe money to someone, I pay him up. Let's say the babysitter, I have a goyish babysitter, I have someone did work for me in the house, and I didn't have a chance to pay him. So he'd like to come over on Friday night, he wants to collect his money, he's not Jewish. So I'll leave the money in the drawer, and when the goy comes, I'll say, please come into the house, the money is muktzeh, I can't handle it, come, take the money. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to do that. You're not permitted to do a piron achayv on Shabbos. You may write it down to keep a record to remember that you paid already, that you don't owe the money anymore. So that's an issa derabban. So that's one issue. And then the Trumas Hadeshin has another issue that there's a din that mekach memkar is also on Shabbos. You're not allowed to sell anything. You're not allowed to buy anything. Also gzeirish and yichtov. You're not allowed to do piron achayv gzeirish and yichtov. And you're not allowed to buy or sell anything gzeirus shemiyichto. So the Trumas Hadeshin came up with these two concerns. When you pay the money for Pidyon Aben, it's piron achayv, you're not allowed to. And secondly, you're buying the baby away from the kohen. So this, one of the Gedolim wrote in Europe, he thinks the whole thing is a joke. It's not piron achayv, because the Gemara says if you give the money to the kohen, matal manas lahachzir, your yotzei, if I owe the bank, if I borrowed $50,000 from the bank and I pay back with money, matal manas lahachzis, that's not a piron achayv. Piron achayv means I give them the $50,000, they can keep it. So if Pidyon Aben would be a chov, and it's the Torah is matal achov on me, like God is in the fatam, it's Hashem, achiv, to pay money. So how are your yotzei piron achayv if you give matal manas lahachzir? At the end of the day, the Kohen's going to have to give it back to me, so that's not piron achayv. So you see, it's a mitzvah nesina. It's not a piran achayv. So even a matana malasach, so shma matana. So you were yotze the mitzvah nesina. And then the second explanation that the Trumas Hadeshin gives, that you're buying the baby up from the kohen. He says he thinks it's ridiculous. The Mishnah says If the baby dies within 30 days, there's no chiyuv pinyan ben. If the baby dies after 30 days, still no chiyuv to do pinyan ben. The baby is dead and buried in the ground. What do you mean you're buying the baby from the kohen? The kohen doesn't own the baby, and you're not buying the baby. The baby doesn't belong to you after the pinyan ben, and didn't belong to the kohen before the pinyan ben. It's a mitzvah nesinah. It's not a kinyan. You're not buying the baby. That's what the nusach that we say, when that's printed in the seder, when you make a pinyan ben. So the Kohen says to the father, but my boy's tvei, which would you prefer to have? Would you prefer to remain rich with your five slime? Or would you want to buy the baby from me? I'll be happy to sell you the baby. So that's not really true. The whole thing is not true. And if the father says, I have enough children, I don't want the baby, you can keep them. He's mechuyev to, whether he wants to or not. That's just the pischei tshuva on Yeridei and Simen Shin Hei. It's only one simen in Yeridei. The third chelik Yeridei has one simen Shin Hei. Has all the dinim apidyan aben. Because in the Gemara it's only one perek. Perek next to the last perek in Bechor is called perek yesh Bechor. That sometimes a person is a Bechor for pidyan aben purposes. Sometimes he's a Bechor for getting pishnayim and not necessarily totally zevazet. Pishnayim depends who's the oldest child of the father. And Pidyan HaBen depends, is it Peterechem of the mother? So sometimes it's going to be Peterechem, but the father has children from his first wife. So the Bchor is the firstborn child to the father, and this, the second wife, had just had a baby, so he makes a Pidyan HaBen. They're dependent on different things. That the name of the parak is Yesh Bchor, Yesh Bchor L'Nachlam, Einem Bchor L'Koyim. Yesh Bchor L'Koyim, Einem Bchor L'Nachlam. That's why it's very questionable. But that's the minig. The minig is that you don't do pidyon haben on Shabbos, even though it's a difficult minig. Pashta says it should be allowed. Should be allowed. Whenever there's a chiyuv to give, let's say on Yontif, on Shabbos we don't bake bread, but on Yontif, let's say a person bakes bread or bakes cake, and he has to be mafresh challah. So usually you're not allowed, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be mafresh chumas and maisis on Yontif or on Shabbos. It's a Mishnah in the end of Beitzah. Not allowed to be mafish for two different reasons, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. Not allowed to be mafish challah. But if you needed the dough on Yontif and it became mechuyev and challah on Yontif, then the Mishnah says you're allowed to be mafish it. Usually you're not allowed to give truma to the kohen on Shabbos and Yontif either. I was mafish truma last week, and I want to give it to the kohen on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to on Shabbos and Yontif. But if you became mechuyev and afrashes challah on Yontif because you mixed the flour with the water, then the Gemara says you're allowed to be mafresh to challah on Yontif, you're allowed to give it away to the kohen. So the same thing should be by pidyon haben. The Yom Lamed Aleph was on Shabbos, so you became mechuyev on Shabbos. So you became mechuyev to give it to the kohen, so you should be allowed to give it to the kohen on Shabbos. But we followed that Trumas Adesh, right or wrong, that's the meaning, we followed Trumas Adesh. So the question is, in Bris Mila there's a difference between doing the Bris Mila on the eighth day and doing the Mila Shalai Bismana. Mila Bismana is Decha Shabbos, Decha Yont. Mila Shalai Bismana is not Decha Shabbos, not Decha Yont. So that's a question in Achreina. What about Pidyon HaBen? Is there a Pidyon HaBen Bismana? Pidyon HaBen Shalai Bismana? If the Pidyon HaBen is done on the Yom Laman Aleph, then the mitzvah is Bishle Musa, like Mila Bismana. Pidyon HaBen after the Yom Laman Aleph is an incomplete Kiyama mitzvah. It's Pidyon HaBen Shalai Bismana. Or do you say no? By Mila, the Gemara learns that. There's Mila Bismana, Mila Shalai Bismana, Mila Bismana, Bishle Musa. By Pidyon HaBen, maybe it's merely the din of Zviz Magdim and the mitzvahs. So that's a big machloikis and achronim. One of the Rishonim has like that. One of the Ramban quotes that there was such an opinion in the days of the Gaonim, and we have a sefer on Kiddushin that's called Shita Lano de Lami. When they found the manuscript from the days of the Rishonim, they didn't know who the author was. So they call it the Shita Lano, the anonymous Rishonim. I don't think the person intended it to be anonymous, but they lost the first page of the manuscript, so they don't know who the author was. So in this Rishon on Kiddushin, the Shita Lano de Lami, he has a whopper of a Chiddush. We don't, the Ramban makes fun of this, we don't follow this. He says, whenever you put your own Maisel Sheni, you're Maisel Chaymish. Whenever you amagdish something and you buy it back from the Gizbar, you have to be Maisel Chaymish. Chaymish means an additional 25%. Let's say the thing is worth $10. So if I have Maisel Sheni that's worth $10, I have to give $12.50. Then I have to, when I go to Yerushalayim, I have to stay longer because I have $12.50 worth of Maisel Sheni. So I have to buy more food to eat at the Kedusha V'Tahara. If you pay to someone else's Maisel Sheni, or someone else was makdish and you're paid it, then you don't have to be moisav chamish. You just give the keren. But if you paid it your own, then you have to be moisav chamish. So this shita l'noda l'mi, and from the days of the gun to have an opinion, if you're doing the pigyan aven on your own baby, if you're the bailim, then you have to be moisav chamish. So it's not enough that you give five sloim, you have to give six and a quarter. I don't know how much. You have to add another 25%. So that the chaimish is, when you give the whole karen the chaimish is 20% of the whole thing. Moisav chaimish. But it says in chaimish you give five slime. So the Shita Lanameit says that if you do the pidyon aben on Yom Lamed Aleph, then you get away with giving five slime. If you do it shalob bizmanai, pidyon aben shalob bizmanai, then you have to be moisav chaimish. So he's clearly saying on the level of the Raisa, just like there's a Mila Bismana, Mila Shalai Bismana, is there a Pidyon Aben Bismana, Pidyon Aben Shalai Bismana? It's interesting, Tosa doesn't go so far to say that that you're going to rush to do the Pidyon Aben the first opportunity because you want to do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. It sounds from Tosa, it's not so. They just say, Tzorch Miyad, Liten, the Zviz Magdim in the mitzvahs. Since it's a mitzvah, so people will have the attitude. They want to rush to do it as early as possible. They don't mean within 30 days, they mean after the 30 days. So from the Taisa sounds that it's not the Pidyon HaBen Bizmana and the Pidyon HaBen Shalai Bizmana. Just Riz Magdimim. And some other Rishonim and Achronim think, no, that it's more than Stam's Riz Magdimim. Let's say every so often you have, when you have a Pidyon HaBen, so the grandparents have to come in from Seattle or from Baltimore, whatever, and it's inconvenient. They can't come on the Yom Lamed Aleph, so they want to come the next day. Is that right to postpone? Is it right to postpone? See, if it's Zviz Magdim in the mitzvah. So sometimes you don't always do Zviz Magdim in the mitzvah. Let's say you should really do the bris first thing in the morning. You should really daven an early minyan and do the mila bishmini first thing in the morning. But sometimes we postpone till the afternoon. You want to have more people come, so you do the you postpone the bris mila. So maybe if doing the pigyon aben, you don't postpone the bris to a different day because you want the grandparents to come, but you'll postpone till later in the day because that's only Zriz Magdim and Mitzvahs, to do it as early as possible. But to do it on the right day, that's your Bima Batla Mitzvah Bishlei Musa. You won't be doing the Mila Bismar. That's a Shaila. How serious is it that you want to do the Pidyon Aben Dafka on the Yom Lamed Aleph? We don't do it on Shabbos. Out of respect for this Trumas Adeshim, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, both in Hilcha Shabbos and in Hilcha Pidyon Aben. They quote this Trumas Adeshim, not to do the Pidyon Aben on Shabbos. So it's a common practice is that we assume that it's not a din, Pidyon Aben Bismanai. Just an Indian and Zviz Magdim. Otherwise, we would have ignored this Trumas Adeshim. Okay, that's important to have in mind. More correct is you shouldn't really postpone. You shouldn't postpone to a different day because there is such an opinion that the opinion of Ben Biyomo is a bigger key. Let's see, what else? What else do we have to chaza? Ulushanoisa, there's a din on Daf Ches Amid Beis, the third Tesis on the top. Ulushanoisa l'chol ma sheyirtzu. Usually we have a din in Yeridah and Hilchas Tzedaka. Ein mishanim etzdaka letzdaka. Here in the yeshiva, I think somebody gave $10 million to institute the Holocaust studies. So the din is they donated money to a school for Holocaust studies. So they're going to use the money for that purpose. They're not allowed to use it for some other purpose. If people gave the tzedakah for a specific purpose, that's a gemara. Ein mishanim etzdakah letzdakah. Here it says, if it's the tzibur is in charge of the money, then the tzibur is allowed to. Yeah, where is that gemara that says ein mishanim etzdakah letzdakah? So Tosfos quotes, erechin perakama davov amebeis. The gemara says, ha'emer pruta zu letzdakah. Four lines down, after it says Erechen Perakama. So it says, Vama Nami Hosam in Erechen, Ha'emer Prutazul, it's Doka, Achila Boliad Gabai, Boliad Yad Gizbar, Muta Lushanaisa, Mishim Boliad Gabai Yad Gizbar, Osa Lushanaisa. What is that? Muta Lushanaisa, Osa Lushanaisa. So there the Rishonim have two pshatim. What does that mean? So one pshat is, if I set aside $10 to give the tzedakah, and then I need, so that, I'm chayav to give that to tzedakah. I have to give $10 to tzedakah. I have to give dafka this $10 bill. I said it aside already. So kol zman that I didn't give it to the gizbor, I can be loivo pareya. I can use this $10 for my own purposes, and I'll give a different $10 bill. I'll make out a check tomorrow, a different check. But mishegili ad gizbor, once I gave it to the gabbai already, so it's chal on this $10. This already belongs to tzedakah, so I'm not allowed to borrow it. Unless tzedakah is going to make money on the deal. I'll borrow it and I'll give them ribbis. Jewish people are not allowed to charge interest. So that's a question. Let's say there's a tzedakah organization and they have more than enough money. They don't really need so much money. Are they permitted to lend money by ribbis? A tzedakah organization is not a human being. The mitzvah of ribbis is only on Jewish people. An organization is not a human being. It's an ownership, it's a chalashem b'ilam, but it's not a person. So that's a sophic in the Tshuvas HaRashba. In Hilchas Ribbis, in Yeridei Chelik Beis, Rabbi Kibbeger quotes such a Tshuvas HaRashba has a sophic. So the Rashba says that ribbis deraisa, it's dok organization should not lend. But if it's ribbis derabanan, then we would allow it. So ribbis deraisa is only if it's ribbis kitzutza. When they lend you the money, they say, here's $100, and you can keep it for a year, and we expect you at the end of the year to give us a 5% interest. We want back $105. So that they shouldn't do. But let's say the person doesn't make any conditions. He gave the money to tzedakah already, and then the tzedakah is in a pushka. If the money was put in a pushka, that's also called hegili ad gizbar, because the pushka is like the gizbar. The pushka belongs to that tzedakah. So that's called hegili ad gizbar. Let's say I have a $10 bill and I need quarters because I'm going over the bus, I'm going over the bridge, and I need quarters to pay the toll. So I put my $10 bill into the tzedakah box and I take out change. So I'm taking money that's tzedakah higil ad gizbar. So higil ad gizbar, I'm not allowed to use their money unless I'm going to pay you off for the tzedakah. So I'm going to give them extra, but I'm not. There was no halvoya with a shihui's man. So that would be permissible in such a case. That tzedakah should lend beribis kitzutza deraisa, that they're not allowed to do. Tzedakah can lend beribis derabanan, they can lend. But here there's no ribis at all. There's no ribis at all unless there's an element of hamtonas hamoes. If you're giving extra because of the fact that they're waiting. Here, I put the $10 bill, before I put the $10 bill in, before I take out the change, or even if I don't put it in before, I'm taking out the change, $10 worth, and I put in the $10 bill right away. So there is no element of hamtanas hamoes at all. The Gemara says, klala de ribisa, the klal of ribis is, kol aganetale, whenever you're paying extra because of hamtanas hamoes, then it's ribis. Over here, strictly speaking, it's not ribis. But the money is higili ad gizbar already, so I'm not allowed to use it for my purposes, unless it's going to be in the best interest of the tzedakah. So I make it in their best interest. I give them an extra quarter. Instead of taking $10 worth of quarters, I'll take $9.75, and I'll leave one quarter there in the pushkin. So if it pays, it's okay. So that's the one pshat in the Gemara. Kol zman shelo higili ad gizbar mutar l'shanos, it means he can be lovo pareya. Mishigili ad gizbar osa l'shanos. The other pshat that we showed him have on the Gemara is Mutal Shanaisa to a different tzedakah. I set aside a $10 bill to give to the shul. Then I decide, what kind of shul? This is a nutty rabbi with crazy balabatim. Why should I give $10 to the shul? I'll give it to a different shul. I'll give it to a yeshiva. I'll give it to anim. So kol zman shelo higili ad gizbar, even though I set aside the money, it's chal on the money Hashem tzedakah, but it's not chal the Hashem tzedakah pratis. So that, therefore, as long as I'll give it to some tzedakah, I don't have to give it to this shul, I should give it to some kind of tzedakah. So mutar l'shanoseh the tzedakah acheres. But after he gives the gizbar, then also l'shanoseh, then you're not allowed to switch it. Once I give it to the gizbar, then it's chal already, chal Hashem tzedakah pratis. Is it tzedakah for this shul, or for this yeshiva, or for this group of anim, or for this institution, for this hospital? Yeah, so that's based on that pshat that in Shulchan Aruch you have all these dinim of us of the shana, a mishanin, mitzdokah l'tzdokah. You're not allowed to switch from one tzdokah to the other if it's already higili ad gizbar. And here the Gemara said, this is an exception to the rule. The rule usually is, and not allowed to be mishanim, it's doka, it's doka. But the Gemara says, you are permitted to switch from the kupa to the tamcha, tamcha to the kupa. The tamcha is for aniyeh ho'ilam, and the kupa is for aniyeh ho'ir. So it's different collections. So the Gemara says, there was one of the Amoraim, he always used to have a separate pushka for the aniyeh ho'ir, and a separate pushka for the aniyeh de'olam. Mereish, I'll be over two lines from the bottom. Amar Abai, the last two lines on Daf Ches on the base. He says, Mereish originally, Havi Ovid Mar, he says, he was brought up by Rabbi. Abai was a Yosem. He was brought up by Rabbi Bar Nachmani, was his uncle. So he calls him Mar. So he says, when my uncle raised me, so Rabbi, remember, he noticed a lot of things. He says, he used to have trei kisei. He used to have two pushkas, one for Ani Olam, one for Ani Demos, Ani Huir. And then he heard the din that it's Mutal Lashanis, Mitzdoka Lizdoka, if he's representing, if it's a Dovah Shal Tzibur. So he only has one pushka and shine, and there's no problem. So that's what Taisa says. Since by Tzibur it's an exception to the rule anyway, so it's even Mutal Lashanis, and not only from one stoka to the other. It's Mutal Lashanis to a Dvar Harshus, also Mutal. Mutal Lashanis to Dvar Harshus, that's the last few lines in Taisa. Yeah, why is it by a Dokel Shalt? Why a Dobe Shalt Sigwai is a Mutter? Probably based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. Probably based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. Bezna has a right to be Mafke people's moment. And the Tzibur can also, if it's a Dobe Shalt Tzibur, so the Tzibur has the Koch of Hefke Bezna Hefke. The din of Hefke Bezna Hefke, that's the first Tshuva, and the Tshuvas of the Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram is the last rabbi in Kovna. He died in the Kovna ghetto before the Nazis had a chance to kill him. They killed everybody there. So he learned the Valozhin. He was a member of, he was a descendant of Rav Chaim Valozhin. In Lithuania, that's the big yichus, to be from Beis Harav, to be a descendant from Rav Chaim Valozhin. Somehow to be a descendant of the Vilna Gaon was not the yichus, only to be as a descendant of Rav Chaim Valozhin. So in the first tshuva, in the first, there are three volumes, so in the first tshuva, in the first volume, he has a long tshuva about Dina and the Malchus Adina. So he explains that Hefke Bezna Hefke is really a branch of the din of Dina and the Malchus Adina, the basic din of Hefker. The government has a right to be Mafker property. And if the government isn't doing what they're supposed to do sometimes, then the Bezna has a right to act as if they are the government. So here, the Tzibur is the government thesis. If the tzedakah is collected by the Tzibur, it's not a small group of people. The Tzibur has this kupa and the tamche. This is tzedaka shel Tzibur. The Tzibur has a right to change it. That's like hefke bezna hefke. So they can switch from one tzedaka to the other. Yeah, the Gemara says that Bnei Hoyer have a right to institute takonis. They can fix the maximum prices and minimum wages. They should. The government should do that. If the government doesn't do it, then the Rabbanim should do that. That's the obligation of the Bezna, obligation of the government, to see to that the people shouldn't rip each other off. So they should institute minimum wages and maximum prices on things that are necessities, on luxuries, ice cream, so charge whatever you want. Or jewelry, charge whatever you want. But if it's milk, cheese, eggs, meat, people need this food for nutrition, that's not stamped for fun. So then the government should introduce such laws. And then the Gemara says also, l'hasi al kitzosam, they have the right to introduce a penalty that if someone violates the takonis hakol that they introduce, they have a right to penalize them. So Gemara gives an example that there was a group of butchers. Here the top, the fourth or the fifth line on Tesam and Aleph. In our Gemara it says, Hano Beitrei Tapchi. There were two butchers that made a deal. Bach corrects the Girsa. Does Zinkta fit in the Gemara? There were only two butchers. Sounds like all the butchers, there was a butchers union. They all made up that each butcher shop is going to be open on a different day. He said, they won't have any Hasagas Glul. So Sunday this one will be open. There were six butchers or less. Right? So every day of the week, a different butcher will be open. And if someone opens his shop and he sells flesh on a day that's not his, they will rip up the hide, which is worth money also when you shecht an animal, so you can use the skin to make leather shoes or leather jackets or whatever. That's valuable. So one of the butchers will violate the agreement, have the right to penalize him and destroy the hide. So one of them violated it, and then the others went, and they were mazik, and they went for a din Torah. And Rabbi said, you order my mazik, you have to pay. So the people were screaming, oh, but it says, lasi al kitzasim. So Rabbi ignored them, he didn't answer. So Gemara says, a good thing that he ignored. Amar papa shaparavad. Rabbi did the right thing, the lo hadalei. Midi. He didn't answer anything to the Tanya. It's ridiculous. Whenever you want to make a takana, you have to clear it with the Talmid HaChacham, if there's no Talmid HaChacham. So the community has to make the takanas on their own. But if there's a Talmid HaChacham, and you didn't clear the takana of Talmid HaChacham, then we consider it a minik shtus. That was the thesis we had on the first Mishnah, based on another Rabin and Tam proof in the thesis, that sometimes there are minhagim that we consider minik shtus. And you're not supposed to follow them. And that there's a famous Rabin and Tam has a tshuva printed on the bottom of the Mordechai. We usually have Shilta Gibarim is usually printed. Oh, this doesn't have a writ. Shilta Gibarim is usually printed on the side of the writ. And once in a while, you have Shilta Gibarim printed on the bottom of the page of the Mordechai. Also, the Mordechai is printed after the writ. Mordechai was at the same time as the Rosh. And now goes Ma'amini Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg. They're the ones who went to the prison to learn every day with the Maharam Rutenberg. So the. So on Gittin Daf Peivav, when the Mishnah asks Gufa shall get, what's the text of the get? Arep Muteris L'chol Adam, Arep Megoreshim, Arep Muteris L'chol Adam. So on the bottom of the page, they have an Shulti Giborim there on the bottom of the Mordechai. They have a long tshuva by the Rabbi Natam. So one line in the tshuva is very famous. They quote it in the history books, where the Rabbi Natam says you should know that the word Minig is the same letters as Gehenim, Mem Nun Hey Gimel, the same letters as Gimelah. That sometimes you follow the minig, you go straight to Gehenim. Depends whether it's a minig shtus or a valid minig. If it's a valid minig, then you mechuyev to observe the minig. But if it's a stupid minig, then not. Lasi al kitzasim. There was the Talmid HaChachamim in the city, so they should have consulted the Talmid HaChachamim. They didn't consult, so that whole takona, that penalty, is not binding. They had no right to be mazikim. The Magen Avraham has like that. The Rambo speaks about the significance of observing Minhagim and Hilchas Purim, because the Minig is all over Poland and Eastern Europe, that they clap on and they make noise. So it's a questionable Minig. They're making noise, and sometimes people will miss a word or two. So the Rambo says, even though the Minig looks a little strange, you don't make noise in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So when you're making noise in the middle of Mikra Megillah, you have to hear every word. But still, it's for the sake of Mechias Amalek, Timcha Zech Amalek, it's Zeched. Timcha Zech Amalek means it should kill the people who are from Amalek. But this is a Zeched, it's based on that mitzvah. And if it's approved by the Rabbanim, that's what the Magen Avraham adds on. It has to be a minig basika, it has to be a minig that we know the Rabbanim approved it. If the Balabatim have a minig on their own, and we don't know if it was approved by the Rabbanim, that's not called a minig. That's what the later Achronim say. If you want to ascertain what's the meaning of Amokam, you have to ask the Rabbanim what's the meaning. But just because the Balabatim say this is what we always did, could be that they didn't do it with the approval of the Rabbanim. To ascertain a meaning has to be with the approval of the Rabbanim. That's what the later Achronim say. So that's what Rabbi Shavanshan said. That's based on this Gemara also. The Magen Avraham quotes it from Maseches Sofer. Minhagim have to be meaning Vosikin. But the Moshe Feinstein has it based on his Gemara. So you have to consult the Talmid Chacham to have approval for the Lahasi Al Kitzasim, to have approval of any takana, any minig that you want to introduce. He Yeah, then we discussed a little bit the Tosfos on Daf Zayin on the days. The Mamascha lefi shvach mamen hen govim. So Tosfos quotes Igmar the end of Baba Kama. Igmar the end of Baba Kama. Baba Kama ends Kuf Yutes. I think both Baba Kama and Baba Metzia, they both end Kuf Yutes. So it is Mamish Kuf Tezayin, the very end, towards the very end of Baba Kama. So let's say the Crusaders come and they want to kill all the Jews in the city. And the Jews have to spend money to fortify the city, have to protect themselves. So someone put up all the money and then later on they chased away the Crusaders. So then all the people in the city were saved. The Goyman came to kill them. And they were all spared, but it cost a lot of money. How do you calculate how much every person has to pay? So the Gemara says, if they came on the fascists, they came to kill people. So everyone's life is equal in value. So everyone, the wealthy people and the poor people, it would be very nice the wealthy people should give more money. But strictly speaking, you collect the fina fascists. Because there were, in the days of the Crusaders killed, they wiped out complete Jewish community, but the communities were not like today, that you have a few million Jews living in New York City. Sometimes they had less than a million in a city. They had 10, 15 Jews living in a city, right? Sometimes they had only, there was one family in the whole city. There wasn't even a million. So, so let's say they came to a community, there were 100 people, and all their lives were spared, and the Crusaders came to kill them. So then you collect the fina fascia. So strictly speaking, everyone has to pay an equal share. It would be nice if the Ashirim would pay more, but strictly speaking, they don't have to. But what if gangsters come? There's some quotes from the Gemara. Shayor ha'alechas ba'midbar, a group of Jews traveling. Va'amban alecha gayos. And then a group of armed bandits or soldiers, an army come. They don't want to kill them. They want to steal their money. So the wealthy people have more money than the poor people. Poor people hardly have anything. So then, since they had to bribe the group, or they had to protect themselves that they shouldn't steal all the money. So someone laid out the money. How do you collect it? So then the Gemara says, you collect lefi mamon. You don't collect lefi nefashos, because not that the Crusaders came to kill them, they came to steal their money. So that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. When you pay money to build a wall around the city, to protect the city from what? What are you protecting from? So you're not protecting. In the days of the Gemara, they had a Musa. Crusaders are going to come to kill them. They're going to come to steal the money. What do they get gained by killing them? They're going to come to steal the money. So the Gemara has a shayla. When they had to build the wall, do you pay lefi mamon, lefi shvach mamon, or do you pay lefi kiruv batim hengoivim? Whosever house is closest to the entrance to the city, so when the gangsters, when the hijackers, whatever, when the ganovim are going to come in to steal, so the houses that are near the Pesach Ha'ir stand in a bigger danger of having the goyim steal their money. And houses that are further away have less of a danger. So that's what the moral comes to the maskana, that you pay lefi kirubatim. Lefi kirubatim hengoivim. They're coming not to kill the people, they're coming to steal the money. So that's the din you collect lefi shvach mamon goivim, not lefi nefashos goivim. What about when you want to build the shul? So it's going to cost money. So how do you collect over there? So everybody has to daven equally in the shul. So on the one hand, you should collect lefi nefashos. This family has a husband and a wife. They have 9 children. So they have 11 people on the daven shul. The others is a couple. They only have a husband and a wife. The children don't live here anymore. The children are married. They live in Arba Kamfas Haaretz. So they should pay 11 units, and they should pay 2 units. It should be, on the one hand, it should be lefi nefashos. On the other hand, you make the shul beautiful. You make it fancy. So the poor people would rather make a shul less fancy. They can't afford the fancy part. You want to beautify it, it should look a Hida mitzvah. So that Hida mitzvah, that's more for the Ashirim. So that's what we usually say. When you're building a shul, however much money it's going to cost, so you collect machtza lefi nefashos and machtza lefi mamon. Half the amount that you're going to have to collect, you collect lefi nefashos, because everybody has to daven in the shul equally. So each person uses the shul to the same extent. And half the amount that you need for the shul is lefi mamon, because the Hida mitzvah, that's for the wealthier people. means half of the money that will be needed should be collected lefi nefashas, half of the money lefi mamas. So these are based on Gemaras. These are dinim in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, then we had a Gemara on Vav Amid Beis that for the purpose of Hezegriya, so the wall that you build, the kaisel that you build in between has to be dalal amas tall, that's above the people's eyes, so they won't be able to look into the next door neighbor's chotzer. But if it's only because of nitfas solid kiganet that they shouldn't trespass, then it should really be enough with misipas, a very low fence, 2 inches would be enough. But the guy can always say, "I dropped something in that," so he shouldn't trespass. So you make a mechitza of 10 tefachim for shani. So the Gemara talks, what if it's a gag? What if you have 2 gagging, 2 sides of the street, and I'm sure surrounded in between? So this one makes a maka, gavoy dalad amis from one half of his roof, the other makes on the other side of madifim, so neither can look into the other one's roof. What about the din of maka? Forget about the din of Hezekiah. Don't you need a maka for the whole roof? So the answer is 2 answers. First of all, the Mishnah Brura has an Hilchos Chalamayit. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the din, you're permitted to build a maka on Chalamayit if it's necessary, if you just bought the house. So you're allowed to build a maka on Chalamayit. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a Ritva, a Maseches Moed Kotten. Moed Kotten has all the dinim of Chalamayit. So the Ritva writes on Moed Kotten, the Chiyav Maka only applies if it's a roof that's used. Let's say, on my building, people are not allowed to go up to the roof. The roof is locked, and they say they don't give permission to any of the tenants to go up. If there's a leak, then they call a roofer, and he comes, and he has to fix the leak. He goes on the roof, but you're not supposed to go. Not supposed to go on the roof. So if it's a roof that's normally not used, just once in a long while use the roof, then you don't need a maka. That's number one. Number two, even when you do need a maka, it doesn't have to be dalal amas tall. Unless it's an issue of Hezekiah. But if it's only a maka that you shouldn't fall off, so the Ravid writes on the Rambam, and the Rambam quotes the Dinim HaMaka, so in Shulchan Aruch they quote, that's the last page in Choshen Mishpat, has the Dinim HaMaka, so they quote the Ravid that the maka has to be 10 tefachim tall. 10 tefachim tall is a very question, it's below my waist, so I don't know, why is 10 tefachim good enough? I can fall over, if I lean over, I can fall over the 10 tefachim. I don't know, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the maka has to be 10 tefachim tall. A lot of people violate the din of maka. The chiyuv maka is not only on the rooftop. There's a din, let's say you have a porch, and if you'll fall off of the porch, to fall on the ground is 10 tefachim or more. So the Gemara says, Baba Kama, if you have a board, there's a board test, tefachim and a board yud. So bar test, someone can fall into the bar and get hurt. If an animal falls in, a person falls in and gets killed, that's not supposed to happen, so the Baal HaBor doesn't have to pay if the animal got killed. But if the bar is 10 tefachim deep or deeper, then a bar yud is Ovid Misa, then there's a Chashash Misa. So the Pasuk says in Chumash, you have to make a makkah, v'sis makkah v'agecha, kiipa l'anoifel mimenu, you only mechuyev a makkah if you're afraid someone may get killed. So it's only chiyuv maka if the porch is 10 tefachim above the ground. And even the ground is grass, you're going to fall down, you're not going to get killed. If you fall in a bor that's below the ground, you may get killed if it's 10 tefachim. But if it's grass, why are you going to... But that's what the Gemara says in Bava Kama. If the fall from the porch to the grass is 10 tefachim or more, then you have to have a maka. So, and then the maka has to be 10 tefachim tall. Okay, that's the right. The maka has to be 10 tefachim tall. So here the Gemara says you only have to make the maka dalal amas tall, half of my roof, half of your roof. What about the rest of the roof? You don't need any maka at all. So it could be that the roof is hardly being used. So you're not being used, you don't need a maka. It could be you need a maka of 10 tefachim, but you don't need a maka of dalal amas. And half you need a maka of dalal amas.
Well, if you have an opinion in Bava Kama that says the entire problem of the bar for 10 tefachim is havala.
Yeah.
Then when you're outside over here with the window, there's no havala issue.
There's no havala, yeah. Yeah, we don't know exactly what that means. I remember I was in first year high school, and my Rebbe was Rabbi Tendler, who just passed away. And he taught us the first 40 blot in Bava Kamma with almost all the Tosfos. And then the students asked him, what does it mean, Havla? He said, he doesn't know Pshat. He doesn't know. Nobody knows what it means, Havla, yeah. Then there was an important Tosfos on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Asei Shabbat Chachol, Val Titztarech Labriyos. So that's contradicted by other Gemaras. The other Gemaras say when you give the Tamchi is for Dani Ho'ilim and the Kupa is for Dani Ho'ir. So when you give the Ani Ho'ir, you have to give him enough for three meals for Shabbos, either three meals or four meals. There's a Tana Rav Chitke whose opinion is that you have to have not Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos, you have to have four Sudas on Shabbos. That's at the end of the Tosfos Dima Maschel Shabbos. Doesn't know most in Shalosh Sudas. So the last five lines, Tosfos quotes this Machloek Rav Chitke and the other Ta'ir Rabbanan. You have to give 15 meals, and the Rav Chitke, you have to give 16 meals, because on we pass can eat three sudas on Shabbos, one on Friday night and two on Shabbos in the daytime. Rav Chitke says you need three on Shabbos in the daytime and one on Friday night. There are Hasidim who are makbet to have sudas. Rav Chitke, they have four meals on Shabbos. But then he quotes the next time, he quotes Rabbi Akiva, Asei Shabbat Rachol Batit Tzarech Labrias. So what does that mean? But it says you're giving the guy either 15 meals the whole week, or 16 meals all week. So you are giving him for the extra meals on Shabbos. On the weekdays, you don't have three, four meals a day. You only have two meals a day in the days of the Gemara. So that's what Tyson says. If the man is living off of charity anyway, he needs a handout, he needs stuff, and then you have to give him for Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos also. But if he makes enough money to cover all the expenses of all the meals, and he'll only have two meals on Shabbos, is he mechuyev? Are we mechuyev to give him money from charity that he should be able to have three meals on Shabbos or four meals on Shabbos? Then Rabbi Akiva says, if that's the whole begging from charity is going to be just to have the Suda Shlishis and the Suda Shlishis and Revias on Shabbos, then they say, I say Shabbat Chachol, I can start Labrias. So don't take tzedakah for that. Live without it. It's not like Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. If he doesn't have money, so you have to give him money. If he doesn't have wine to drink on Pesach night, you have to give him. If he don't have his panis, but that's okay. Has to eat behaseba, and he has to have arba kaisas on Pesach night. The shalosh sudas and four sudas, if he has enough to make two meals on Shabbos, like every other day of the week, so he shouldn't take tzedakah just for that purpose. Better would be asei shabbat chachol, v'al tzedarach labrias. Okay, what more can we do? Chazara, Shaina, not Chazara. Maybe we'll do a din. We didn't do it yet. There's going to be a Gemara later. Take a look on Yud Aleph on the base. On the second line from the top. Amar Avuna. He talks about an Achsedra. What is an Achsedra? What does the word Achsedra mean? So Rashi interprets, Achsedra is a gazebo, a little room that just has a roof. It has no walls around it at all. Tosfos disagrees with the Rashi, the top Tosfos. Just the Pirush Hamilas of Achsedra. It's relevant here in this Gemara also, what's going on, but the whole Gemara is not so relevant. We don't have this whole setup, Bisman Hazeh. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They say it's Beferish. It's Beferish in another Gemara, in Perek Lo Yachbor. Look in the Tosfos 10 lines in. Sam Achsedra, Yesh Lo Sholosh Defanes, Kiriyama Belo Yachbor. Olam Azeh Dama Lachsedra, Olam Azeh Lachsedra Hu Doime, Roch Tzefaynes Einu Mesu Bevis. The Olam Azeh only has walls around it on three sides, doesn't have on the fourth side. So Tosfos says it's a gazebo that has a roof and has three walls, that is missing the fourth wall. And Rashi learns that Achsedra has no wall at all. So that's not too significant at all. In Agamar, what's significant is, they say, what's the girsa in Perek Kol Gagas? Kol Gagas is a Perek towards the end of Erevin. So the Gemara there has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel regarding a din deraisa, pitikra yorid v'soysen. What's a din in pitikra yorid v'soysen? It's like this. In order to be considered a Rishus HaYochid, for Shabbos purposes, that you're permitted to carry in a Rishus HaYochid, so you have to have, the mokum has to have a minimum of dalet tfochim, not dalet amas. Dalet amas or dalet amas, that can be to be considered a deis dira. One Tana holds that a sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah has to be diras keva. So the sukkah has to have a minimum of dalet amas or dalet amas. We don't pass like that. We pass in diras haroi. So it's enough, either 6x6 tfochim or zayin al zayin tfochim, we pass in, like Beishamai, 7x7 tfochim, not 6x6. But according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that a sukkah has to be a diras keva. So a diras keva has to be dalet amas or dalet amas. You only mechuyev in mezuzah if it's dalet amas or dalet amas. Here the Mishnah has a din of dalet amas about a chotzer, about dividing a chotzer. I don't think that would apply to Zman HaZeh. Today all these shiurim are going to be different here. This Mishnah on Yud Aleph and Mem Aleph, we discussed it already, that the people are shutfim just because we join shutfis, I'm not going to suffer for the rest of my life in the shutfis. We originally were shutfim and we divided 50-50 everything, and then as it turns out, I do all the work and you're taking half the money. You're not lifting a finger. So I want to get rid of this shutfis. So the din is that if we own a farm, the shutfis, I can insist I want to have a chalukah. I want to divide it somehow. I want to take care of it. You're going to take care of it. You do your field, I'm going to do mine. And if it's a double she'en bo kedei chalukah, if it's not big, a house, you can't always divide the house. It's not divisible. So then I can get rid of my shutta by offering him good ayogut. That's the Gemara later on, Daf Yud Gimel. I can say, I offer you, I want to break up the shutfis. You always have a right to break up the partnership. Just because you agreed 20 years ago, you're not mechuyev to be stuck for the rest of your life. People are married. If they don't, not happily married, they get divorced. So if people became shutfim also, they're not happy a lot of times. Shutfim are not happy the way they're being treated. So they want to break up the shutfis. So I can offer good or yogur. Good means either you buy me out or I'll buy you out. So if I want to buy you out, so I can say, I value, let's say we own a nursing home. A friend of mine was a shutfim in a nursing home, and he was doing all the work and the other shutfim was taking half the money. So for years he wanted to get rid of the other shutfim. Why should I do all the work and the other guy takes half the money? So he finally had the ability to offer him good or yogur. So he said, I consider the nursing home that we have, as far as I'm concerned, it's worth $6 million. And half is mine, half is yours. So if you want to buy me out, I give you the first crack. If you want to buy me out, I want you to give me $3 million because I assess the value of $6 million. And if you don't want to buy me out, then I want to buy you out. So Tosfos says, I can jack up the price. When I offer good or yogurt, I can say... I consider this shutfis, the business that we have, worth so much. I know that that guy can't afford to buy me out, so then I'll be able to buy him out. But then I have to give him half the amount of money. I have to be prepared to give him half the amount of money. So that's the klal in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has, if the davar she'esh bo kadei chalukah, you divide it in half. So the Mishnah gives shiurim, what's the minimum size a house has to be that it should be useful, what's the minimum size that a chotzer has to be, that a farm has to be. So that today, that farming is done with machinery and everything, these shurim probably are irrelevant. But this din of dalet amas is a diras keva, so that's a real din. That doesn't change in the different generations. So let's say, for the Rishus HaYachid, what's a Rishus HaYachid? So you have dalet tfochim al dalet tfochim, mukaf mechitzas, and the mechitzas have to be 10 tfochim tall. That's a Rishus HaYachid. So in New York City, a lot of times you have a bus stop. So you have a bus stop where you have two plastic walls, and then you have a roof on top, and then you have a little bench. So if it's raining or snowing, so the people can sit on the bench or stand under the roof, and they won't get wet. So does that have the status of a Rishus HaYachid? Under the roof, you have dalet tfochim. You don't have dalet amas. You have dalet tfochim al dalet tfochim. But it's not mukav mechitza on all four sides. So the first Mishnah in Erevin says that if you have three mechitzas U-shaped, you have three mechitzas, then Atari, you're allowed to carry, even though there's no wall on the fourth. There's nothing on the fourth side. It's only a requirement midrabbanan that you need a tikkun on the ruach revius. So because it's only midrabbanan, so therefore they're allowed to cool this. underneath for the tikkun on the roof of it. So that's a big shaila in din. If you have three walls and you have the area inside, there's no, on the level of the raisa, you're allowed to carry. You're allowed to carry because it's a makom patur, and it would be a karmelis, we would consider that a karmelis. You're allowed to carry because it's a rishus sayach. So that's a big makloikis in the shoinim. And the pashtus is that it is a rishus sayach. If you have three walls, it's a rishus sayach. But with Rabbanan, you have to have a fourth wall. So over here, you have two walls that are at right angles to each other in the bus stop, and you have a roof on top. So do you have the right to say, pi tikra, you have a tikra. It's only called a tikra if a roof has to cover a makam. So the tikra has to be at least dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. Because the makam on the ground that it's covering has to have a minimum of dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. But the bus stop, the roof covers the whole bus stop. So it's more than dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. So does the din apply? So that's what Tosfos on the top of Yud Aleph on the base, the top Tosfos, is discussing. There's a machlokes, an erev in Tzadik Dalet on the base, the end of Perek, the Sof Perek Kogab, the very end of the Perek. That's one of the more important prokim in Maseches Erev. So there's a machlokes there, Rabbi Shmuel, when do you say Pitika Yer V'Soysim Anan? So Shmuel says, Achsedra. If you have an Achsedra, Bibiko, have an Achsedra, you don't say Pitika Yer V'Soysim. Then Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara is, that's what Tosfos quotes, Ligoris Nami, on the second line of Tosfos, they said, Ligoris Nami, Rashi's Girsa in the, and Erevin, the last daf there, and Perikol Gal, Goris Nami, Ki Leis Leidu Shmuel Pi Tikur, when the Shmuel not hold, that the edge of the roof counts as a machitza, that's only the Dalet. If it's an Achsedra, where there are no walls at all, all the four walls are missing. Avol Begimol, but if you have one wall, you're only missing the three walls, then you say Pitikra three times. A very strange Shitas Rashi. Al Pidin, one wall plays a role. You have one wall in a field. One wall doesn't make anything at the Rishu Sayach. Whatever was before, it's going to be the same now. What does one wall accomplish? The teller, if you have three walls, then you say to Rishu Sayach, you only have one wall, it's garnish, but garnish. It's very strange. That's Rashi's Girsa, because Rashi, Tosfos says, Rashi goes l'shitasai. Rashi learns that Achsedra ein lo tfanis klal. The word Achsedra means a gazeb only has a roof, has no walls at all. And then, and that's the Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Tzadik Dalet on the base, that Shmuel says, Achsedra, you don't say Pitikra, that's only Bedalet if it's missing all the four walls. Ki leisle Pitikra, Bedalet if all the four tfanis are missing. But if you're only missing three tfanis and you have pirish, you have one wall, then you do say pitikra. Very strange, very strange. So Tosfos doesn't like the whole Rashi because they say in Perek Layachbar, in the second Perek it says Lekamanda Afchafei, it's beferish El Mazaz Damelach Sedra because you only have three walls and then missing one wall. They see we're talking about a gazebo that has three walls, just missing one wall. So what's the girsa there in the Gemara? That you don't say Pitikra Bidalid, but you do say Bigimel. So Tosfos says, no, the Girsa should be just the reverse. Well, the read Nira, in the middle of the Tosfos, the read Nira, the Samach Sedra Yeshul Shalosh Devana, has three walls. As it says in Perek Lo Yachbar. And the Girsa there, Beso Perek Kol Gaga is Garcina, the correct Girsa should be there. Ki Leisle Bigimel. Ava Ba'arba Isle. What does that mean? If you have three walls, normal walls, and on the fourth wall you have nothing, then Shmuel holds you don't say Pitikra. Even though the whole need for the tikkun on the Ruach Revis is only with the Rabbanon, that's the opening Mishnah there, and if you have Gimel Mechitzas U-shaped, Minatora you're allowed to carry. It's only with the Rabbanon that you need something on the fourth wall. You don't say Pitikra besides him even to count for the fourth wall. It's not acceptable. So that's what Tosfos Girsa says. Ki leisle, when does Shmuel not believe in Pitikra, the Gimel? If you only have three walls and you're missing the fourth wall, the Gamre. Avo ba'arba, isle, pirish. Bisholosh, kishainsh, ksham, kiim sholosh, mechitzes. You only have three walls, you're missing the fourth wall. La'min Pitikra bervias. You don't say Pitikra on the fourth wall. Avo bedalad means if you have the beginning of the fourth wall, true, the mechitza on the fourth wall is not 10 tefachim tall, so it's not called a mechitza. But if it's five tefachim tall, then you say pitikra, because the whole need for the tikkun on the Ruach Rabbi is only by the Rabbanon. So if you have a little bit on the fourth wall, then you can say pitikra on the fourth wall. So that's what Shmuel says. But whenever there's machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, so usually, not every single time, usually Ruba de Ruba, Hilchas de Karabi Isurik Shmuel Bedina. Usually we pass like Shmuel Adina Maminis. There are exceptions to the rule. Ruba de Ruba, we pass like Rabbi Nisa the Hector. See, here we don't accept Shmuel's opinion that he's so strict. How do you, what do we pass on Pit Tikra? So the Mishnah Brura has an attitude, the whole, all the six volumes. He always tries to satisfy as many opinions as possible. He always tries to be a machmer for everything. So the Mishnah Brura recommends in the Bir Halacha that you should only be mekel on pitikra yerbisayim like the Rambam and the Rif. If you have three walls in Minatorah, you're allowed to carry. The whole need for the tikkun on the Ruach Rabbi is only with the Rabbanon. That's the first Mishnah in Erevin. Then you can be mekel to say pitikra on the Ruach Rabbi, because the whole need for the Ruach Rabbi is only with the Rabbanon. But that's the... But you can't press that in. That's not what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah says if you have two walls that are attached to each other, right angle to each other, like the bus stops, you have two walls like this, and then you have the roof on top. If you have two parallel walls like this or like this, then it's mefulish open in the middle. So Tosfos has a Gemara in Sukkah that you don't apply pitikra yerev assessment. If you have two walls, kinin gam. Gam is a Greek letter. Gam is a Greek letter that looks like this. So if you have the two walls like the bus stop, two walls that are like this, and then you have a roof on top, then the Ramah says that you do say pitikra yerev assessment, and the area below it has the status of a rishu sayach. That's Nagel Alocha. Anyway, but Shmuel, the Machlekes, Rashi and the Ri, Bala Tesla says, what is a Stamach Sedra? Rashi learns that Stamach Sedra has no walls at all. And the Ri, Bala Tesla says, no, it's a Gemara in Perikla Yachma, the Kamon, the Avchafei. Ach Sedra normally has three walls missing the fourth wall, but not that it has no walls. So they had two different girsas, and the Gemara at the end of Erevin is not relevant to Alocha. The two girsas are within Shmuel. We're not going to pass like Shmuel, we're going to pass like Rav. So within Rav, that's in Shulchan Aruch, the two opinions, what did Rav say? So the Mishnah Brewer recommends you should follow the Rif and the Rambam, that you only apply Pitikra Yerev Esosim, the Pitikra counts as the Mechitza, on the Ruach Revis. If you have three walls that are 10 tefachim tall, you can be Mekel on the fourth wall. And that's not what it says in the Ramah. So the Mishnah Brewer tries to say the Ramah meant you shouldn't be Mekel more than this. But maybe he didn't mean to be mekel so much. It doesn't really fit into the Ramah. The Ramah says if you have two walls, kimin gam, then you have a tikra on top, then you say pitikra yerusais. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. So tomorrow we'll do Parshas HaShavua, and Sunday maybe we'll learn some more Gemara, okay? We left off in the middle of the Tzedakah. I think with the top line on starting out from Tesam and Aleph. Tesam, we left off around 10 lines in on Tesam. Tesam and base. Top line of Tesam and base. And maybe Sunday we'll continue the Gemara. And then the Monday is the midterm. Monday morning. I think. Is that the Maskana? Monday morning thing is that I have to leave early.